terrorists declare war on the United States.
Military officials here at the Pentagon are confirming that seven are dead. At
least armored vehicle stands guard.
Downtown New York in chaos.
The 7.0 quake was centered roughly 10 miles from the capital city.
We want the public to feel safe.
Thousands likely dead.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast. Things that never change. God and His Word. Join Pastor Randy Reams as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
Come on, dads, you come home. Or even moms, you've made decisions all day long. And he walks in the door and says, "You handle it, honey, I'm done." You want him to deal with the discipline, him to deal with the decisions. But I'm going to be honest, Sunday afternoons and Mondays like that for me. And I'm a people person, but after Sundays, I'm peopled out. I'm going to be honest. Ask my girls. I'm peopled out. They can start talking to me like my girls do, and my eyes just glaze over. Because I'm just tired. So we do that when we're tired. These people have been fighting a while. Now here they are. They're handing it off to another generation of people to do this. And they're going, "Wait a minute, Dad." And let's get real. Don't most of us want a better life for our kids than we've had? Right? So maybe a generation didn't teach them the same things, didn't have to go. We'll get to that. I'm getting ahead of myself. So they sort of lost their fight. And I think most of us can relate to that. Before we judge them too much, I think we can relate to those things. Anything from, "Oh, we're there," to somebody else's. It was somebody else's passion, somebody else's vision. We saw, and I'll just back up on that, Apple. Remember Apple, the company? Steve Jobs comes along, builds up, then they fire him. I don't know if you remember that. And the company goes, and they go, "Uh-oh, we don't have this vision." They bring Steve Jobs back. Now this last time when Steve Jobs passed away, they seem to be having that same vision. But that often happens in a church. When a pastoral moves on, new guy comes, half the congregation disappears, and you get a whole new one. They just got stuck in somebody else's vision. I'm going to be straight. They didn't have one of their own. They were running under Joshua's. And like I said, maybe they're just tired. Okay, I got to go back to that for a minute. And I'll study. You sit back and listen. That's your calling, Pastor. Well, wait a minute. Well, what if something happened to me? Would you still be a student of the Word? Would you still be learning those things? I'd hope to think so. But in our culture today, our culture is, it's your thing, you do it, we'll follow. I believe there's a day eventually coming, folks. You better be doing it on your own. And you might have to do it from memory. I'm going to be straight. I think that day comes. Every young person, you will face this. Listen to me, young adult. You will face this. You will get out on your own, and there isn't mom and dad with a vision to get the family to church. With the vision to teach the things of God. Now you're out on your own. Joshua is dead, if you will, and it's left up to you. Come on, how many times we've seen this, adults, have we watched young people grow up? And now it's up to them to carry that on. So that's this generation here, okay? So they lost their fight. Second is, they forgot God. I thought about putting a note, they lost their desire for God, maybe. But they forgot God, and it comes right out of chapter 2, verse 10. "And there arose another generation after them who did not know God or the work he had done." They don't know him. Who? God, who's that? I don't remember that guy. I mean, that's my way of putting it. Why? The Bible tells us why they forgot God. If we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, all right, somewhere around verse 9, 10, it starts. Okay? Here's what happened. You had a generation who had great and good cities they did not build, houses full of good things they did not fill, wells they did not dig, vineyards and orchards they did not plant. And by the time you get to last verse of 11 of that, "And when you eat and you are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of slavery." You got a generation now. They haven't lived in tents that they can remember. They don't remember what God did in the tent world. They now actually live in houses they didn't build. They go pick fruit from orchards they didn't plant. Okay? Their house is full of stuff that they didn't fill it with. Be careful. You'll forget God. If this isn't the story of the United States, you read the founding fathers in that time of trial, that time of tribulations, that time of birthing, the time of war. Man, God's everywhere. How long did it take? You'd be surprised how long. But then there was this other thing come along called the Civil War. And you see a re-push, by the way, if you were here on Wednesday night, you see the time of what's called the Great Awakening, Great Revival in the United States, when there's great tribulation and trial. But then, God's blessings can cause us, well, create in us a forgetful attitude. But look at Paul's perspective on this if we go to Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I received, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I'll stop there for a moment. One of the reasons we support non-American born here missionaries, because we ain't willing to give up our gain for the cause of Christ. We wouldn't live like that. Ladies, it's really hard on them. They're still cooking over open fires and packing water and all those things. We say in America, Lord, it's all yours. I give it up to you. What would you do if he actually required it? What if he said this, and this was the word of the Lord to you, the word of the Lord, the way it came to the Apostle Paul. Show him all things he must suffer for me. That doesn't get a big altar call. Right? But that's Paul's call from the get-go. All right? So I count all things lost in the view of surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I have suffered the loss of all things. And count them but rubbish. There's another word for that in the King James, right? Anybody know the word? Dung. It's all manure to me. So that I may gain Christ. And I may be found in him, not having a righteousness my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's where everybody, yeah, amen, and the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. We all want the power of the resurrection, but I hate to tell you, that doesn't come without the suffering of the cross. Paul recognized this, that whatever he gained in life was meaningless in the comparison to know God. He knew that without the suffering process, you don't have a right perspective on the stuff you gain. Our government seems to think that if you hand it out to people, they'll have the proper perspective, but that's not true. So I think one of the things this generation didn't have is enough pain. How does God bring them into a place of correction each time they falter? Through pain, through slavery, through famine. Okay? And there is something about appreciating a car when you've been walking for 6 months. Really? And so sometimes, well, I would say most of the time, we really don't appreciate that thing that we have or always have had. That's one of the things we see in that generation. I think the complacency that we see, and I don't mean to go after a particular generation, but the millennials complain a lot about what's wrong with the church, but they don't have solutions. Because all they've ever known is comfortable chairs, projection screens, and air conditioning. I remember church fans. We used to call them funeral fans because the funeral people would put them out and give them to the churches, and you'd fan yourself with them, and there was an advertisement for the funeral home on them, okay? And I remember as a young kid, until I was probably about seven, the church that we went to was a big old chicken coop where they raised chickens in mass, all right? And they converted it into a church. And so the ductwork to heat the place was right along the wall over here, just laying there. All right, and eventually they covered it with old paneling. And when you were a young kid, that was your altar. That was the perfect size to kneel at. All right. But you grew up in that. But today we've grown up in comparison, palatial palaces as far as churches go. Okay. And so if you had to right now, next week, we don't have any good chairs. We have, remember the old wooden pew. I'm just trying to put it in perspective. How complacent would we become? I would. I got a bad back. I sure wouldn't like it. Okay? So, but I want you to understand that process. Okay? So, young people, listen, if your parents want to make you suffer a little bit, I think it's probably for your good. I'm not talking abuse here, okay? I know you think it's abuse when they won't let you use the car on Friday night, but that's not abuse. Okay, or they make you walk or catch a ride, okay? So, but they lost their trust in God. They lost their trust in God. Each tribe was supposed to take their own territory. They go to God. Who's the first one to go do this? And this is just a side note. Who does God say sinned first? Which means, Judah means what?
Praise.
Praise goes first. If you're going to fight the enemy, praise God. Let me put it. Submit your prayers and supplications with thanksgiving. Not prayers, supplications, then thanksgiving. It comes in that process. I just find it intriguing of all the tribes, and Judah was not the biggest tribe at the time. The praise guys goes first, but does he? I know, God, you said if we go do this, you're with us, each tribe. I don't want to do this. Simeon, will you come help? I know God said he'd help, but I'd like to have Simeon's help, please. Right? We've seen this before in Israel later. You'll see this kind of thing later when there's kings. God says, but they go run to Egypt for help because Egypt has chariots. We do it. God, would you help? Would you provide? Yes, I trust you'll provide, God. Excuse me. Here, take the Visa, will you? That's a man thing, folks. That's not a God thing. God didn't invent Visa cards. All right? That kind of thing. So they automatically run over to this point. They don't really, I know you said this, but I don't know if I can do it. I got to have these people come along. It is looking at things through a man perspective instead of a God perspective. And I get this all the time. You come to me in your marriage, you're not liking it, whatever it is, it's hard, you don't get along, whatever are things you have in it. And I'm leaving him, I'm leaving her. I'm sorry, that's not Bible. It might make sense to your brain. And your friend you've been talking to about it, you know, and your buddy's on Facebook, yes, and yeah, dump him. Yeah, you deserve better than that, after all. Well, that ain't the Bible idea of marriage. That ain't the Bible idea. That's not a reason to run off and leave your spouse. But in the natural, wait a minute, life should be better than this. Because the way God ordained things to be, that couldn't be better. Or let me put it another way that might not hit home so hard. Long as we both love each other, that's what counts. You got the idea, right?
Yeah.
No, that is not what counts. You loving, caring, and long as we're monogamous, why would that matter, by the way? Why would you claim a moral ground of monogamy when you're on another one? And you say monogamy is good because, oh, that's right, the Bible says that, but you don't want to claim the... But in rational mind thinking, as long as you're in a good, caring relationship, that's what matters. No, it is not. It's putting your trust in God's way that really matters. But logically, we can work it out. We can tell you 15 reasons why we should, whatever it is, Okay? So we have that same danger today of not doing it God's way, but doing it the way it seems to make sense to us. And we talked about this on Wednesday nights because of things, because we're doing sort of a history of modern church period of time, you know, particularly in the United States. Okay, so we're at 1700s moving up into the middle of the 1900s, okay? And we do that, and what we see is men run amok. We see leaders of denominations, leaders of movements that have moral failures, that all the way back then, if you were here Wednesday night, buys a yacht with ministry money so they can minister around the world. What they don't actually get out of the boat, they pray by for each country as they pass it by. You think that was just a modern thing, didn't you? Planes would be the issue today. All right. So we're going through, we see all this stuff of men. Most of these groups we study become congregational in their church structure. Do you know what I mean by that? The congregation votes. Is it biblical?
No.
But watch. But the knowledge of, yeah, but you gotta keep the person, the leader, the elders, the whoever in check. So we've set up this system. Ah, that makes absolutely good. That, you're right. That makes sense. Men have a sin nature. The problem is that's not God's system. They said it to Moses. Wait a minute. What makes you so special? What gives you? We make just as good a decision as you do, but we see you doing some things we don't like. And yeah, Moses is duck because God's a coming. Okay. So we see it even in the church today. Okay, raising children. Should I meddle here or not?
Go ahead.
Okay, raising children. Well, it takes two, in comes the left. So off we go, and we put the kids in daycare, and we let them come home in the afternoon by themselves with the key, and they sit at home, and we let the pagan world raise them. Why? Because it takes two incomes, according to your brain, not to God's. Okay, and I'm not even going to go on other areas, okay? Finances, I already touched on that. You do it God's way, not the way the world says to do it. And I said this to the little ones, but listen to me, teenagers. God says you honor and obey your parents. End of discussion. I know you can think of 15 other reasons because those people over there, my friend Fred, their parents let him. Well, the other, and that's not fair. And God didn't say anything about fair. He says, here's my way. You do it how your parents tell you. That's the way I say. Yeah, but I don't know if I could take that land. I don't know if I could do that, God. So I'm going to listen to my friends, and I'm going to sneak out the window. I know none of you would ever do that. And I'm going to do it my way, or the way my people, or my friends think. Trust me, just like we see in the book of Judges, it will come and get you. Now, my final place of meddling. We don't like the idea, the way biblical authority is set up. And I already talked about it in the church, but we don't like it in the family. And I say I see the population old. Here's why I know this. When I teach on such thing is when I get more hate mail than any other time. I can teach messages that speak to the sexual relationship and how God designed it to be, how marriage is designed to be. I can even preach on money. And I don't get the hate mail that I do when I talk about God's design for authority within a family. We are so, why? We've compromised and adapted to the culture just like the Israelites here do in a generation. Okay? We've compromised to that. To the idea of God seems so foreign to us. It seems illogical. It seems unfair. It seems like that system can't work. Because we've compromised so much with that which is around us, instead of standing up and saying, wait a minute, God said I can take that, I can take that. I trust God, His way of doing things, yes, it can work that way. Now in our congregation, I know we have many ladies that stay home, not because the Bible says you can't make money somehow, but the importance of child rearing. So I know you do that, so I don't want you to think that I'm attacking you all in particular, okay? But it can be done, and you know it. You can stay home and live on one income. You don't have brand new pickups. Right? You don't have the biggest screen TV with the newest sound system, okay? You might still have a TV that has a tube. right? You don't get to have a new cell phone every time a new one comes out. You might have to put duct tape to hold the furnace together in the house, right? But you did it God's way. And that's what counts. Now, and please, if you're listening or if you're here today, and there are seasons in your life that things happen. And there are seasons where both of you may have to work. There may be a season where he has to stay home and play house mom. Might be a season of that. But there's a difference between a season of it and I've accepted the world way of doing it. And I touch on these things because they're so prominent. We can get more in particular, but I think we all can relate to those. But let me give you something that I think might hit home. You know me, I sort of set you up by looking at everybody else out there, then I turn around and make it look back at yourself. Remember the Bereans? Who was their preacher? The Apostle Paul. What did the Bereans do when Paul preached? They went home and studied it themselves. Our culture isn't that. We pay a guy to study it and tell us, then we go home and forget it. If you don't believe that, let me ask you what I preached on a week ago, 2 weeks ago. Okay, yeah, Josh, the book. Yeah, I got that. It was from the book of Joshua. I know, and I'm not blaming you. That's human nature. But in the Christian culture in the United States, we got paid people who study. Okay, matter of fact, we got paid people who give us the news, so I don't have to see if it's the truth. Really? That permeates our culture. Someone else is the expert. I don't have to study anything. And so we get caught into all kinds of misinformation and wrong ideas that we bring into our families, our homes, and our churches. That ain't the way it works in the kingdom. You receive in the kingdom by doing what? Giving of yourself. You don't receive in the kingdom by absorption. And so, and I'm saying this to myself, not just you. I've signed up to go do another master's degree. Do you think that's fun? I'll send you all my stuff and you can do it with me. Man, I'm nervous about it. The pressure again, the hours that I'm going to not be with my family, all that. Not because I'm a great person. Because I recognize this. Disciple means this. Student. That's what the word means. It doesn't mean follow around like a puppy. It means student. Are you a student or have you accepted the world way? Just listen to the news broadcaster and he says there's global warming, so there must be. I'm not getting into whether there is or isn't. That's my point. Have you done research yourself on that one? Or are you just against it because? Or are you just for it because? You understand what I'm saying? It's like, listen, watching these people protest and you ask them if they voted. We talked about this on a Wednesday night. And again, forgive if you don't come, I'm sorry. But there was a book written way back around the 1850s, 1840s, called Secrets to a Christian Happy Life. Now, that sounds like a Joel Osteen book, I know. But here's what the book was basically about. And it was written in the context of the Wesleyan Holiness Movement. But here's what the book really was. The joy, the happiness that Christian has out of being obedient. There's just joy in doing it God's way. And what we find in the book of Judges, and we see right from the get-go, is, wait, I think there's a better one. And it always leads to that place. Now, if you're not a believer, well, you're going to pay the consequences just in your own life. But as a believer, God comes along with the rod of discipline and brings correction because two things. He's a God of covenant, so you will always be his child. And he disciplines those he loves. This is the great theme, I think, of the book of Judges. I don't care how bad you run amok, you're mine. And because you're mine, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get you back looking my way. So as we travel through this, I want you to look for that. As we travel down this and you hear these stories of the things that are going on, I want you to recognize this. God is the covenant God. And when he made the covenant with Abraham, he says, you break it, I pay the price so we can stay in covenant. No matter how bad you mess up, he'll still use you. Was that one of the themes? God uses messed up people?
Yes.
Because you're always his child. And he's going to bring you to a place of correction. And then he'll use you again. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because for me, there's no greater joy than being used by God. I know I'm not used by God unless I'm obedient. And when I'm walking in obedience, I'm never at the point where I say, oh God, who are you? I don't get to the point where I'm forgetting. And I get to walk in that place of blessing. Even though I might be like Paul and lose it all, I recognize I've got that thing that really has value. That's me in Christ.
Amen.
Me and him. That's the value. We may have said that to our sweetheart back when we were still courting. Honey, no matter what, at least we have each other. Okay? Well, in a sense, I get to say that with God. I've learned to recognize it like you have in your marriage relationship. God is all this other stuff. I'll just do it your way. It's just me and you walking it out together. And that's what you're going to see in the book of Judges. Let's stand. Lord, as we embark this journey into this book that you've written to us, God, help us not to get bogged down with all the, I don't know, I'll say the wickedness, the roughness, the badness of the people. But help us to understand this, that we are your children even though we do it. And God, there's no greater place, no greater joy as a believer than to walk it out your way. And when we don't, we'll even thank you for the discipline because you love us. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truth from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcasts. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.